This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a special broadcast from Broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight. Not waxing my legs, or shaving my pits, or bleaching my lip, cause I don't give a sh**.
And you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Can't stay at home, can't stay at school. Old folks say you're pulling a fool. Stay on the streets, I'm the girl next door. I'm the fox you've been waiting for. Hello, daddy. Hello, mom. I'm your
I'm ready to go when you are.
I'm ready too. Excellent. I'll just go straight in. All right. So, yes, welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9. And I have on the phone line, I'm talking to the amazing Cherie Curry. Of course, she's coming out here. She's going to be playing in Melbourne on the 28th of May, I believe. I want to welcome you to Broad.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you, Sonia. Thank you.
It's an incredible journey getting down under, getting to Australia. Is it the first time you've been down here?
It is. And wow. I'll tell you, in 1977, when I, of course, in the Runaways, we were told by our management that we went gold in Australia. That was the first thing we heard. So we thought we were going to be just jumping on a plane going down under, and it never happened.
Damn.
I've been waiting 40 years for this.
So have we. Damn it. Well, they sent ABBA down. They could have sent you guys. Damn it.
I know it. But, oh, well, the thing is you know, it is what it is, and I get to play all the Runaway songs still. So it's going to be good.
Oh, cool. So that was one of the questions I had is, will you be delving into some of those classics that people love?
I have to because I love them too.
Oh, good.
And whenever I go to see a band or a solo artist, I always am waiting for that song that I love the most. And it's so funny that so many bands don't want to do that. And I think that's really sad. They think, you know, forget Cherry Bomb or, you know, and it's just, no, you can't do that. I love all the Runaway songs. I love playing them. They're fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, they still have such a freshness and a rawness, I think, that fans love and people just turn onto it. And a lot of that, I guess, has been the resurgence thanks to film done in, you know, 2010 by Floria Sigismondi. I mean, how amazing was that film, do you think, for this time in your life?
It was great. It really was. I was surprised because how do you put 2 years of absolute craziness into 90 minutes? I mean, the acting was outrageously great. Of course, Dakota Fanning's one of my favorite actors of all time, and Kristen Stewart killed it as Joan.
Didn't
and
she?
Michael
yeah.
Shannon was, yeah, he was fantastic as Kim Fowley. So it's really was a true gift for that movie to be made.
Yeah, it's quite spooky how alike the characters were, you know, I mean, the actors playing those real parts. So, and being involved in that must have been a very interesting experience.
Well, it was. It was so surreal. I still don't believe it happened. It's just one of those things that, I mean, especially with these actors being so great. And I just love them all. And I still, some things are just so phenomenal that it's hard to still grasp it for me. And I think that's good. Mm. I think that's good. I like, because every time I see the film or see it coming on television or talked about, I get that feeling like, because I still don't believe it.
Well, a couple of years back now, there was a Girls on Film Festival they called GOFF here in Australia, in Melbourne, and it was the star film that they had for the opening night, and people were just cheering and getting up off their seats, and it was a packed full house, and this is a town hall here in Melbourne, so I think people just hungry for a recognition and acknowledgement of that past, you know, especially for women, especially for feminism and for chicks who want to be in bands, you know?
Yes, I agree. And I think, my goodness, it's, girls have just decided to not let anyone stand in their way. Mm. And I think it's very different. And of course it was, but the Runaways were really the first, besides Susie Quattro and Fanny, we were really the first young teenage band to hit the stage. And now I just see so many of them. And it's great with social media and also with the ability to make your own records and put them out on your own and your own videos. People have a real chance to be seen, and I think that that is fantastic.
And, I mean, for our show, for Broad, we look at women culturally and bands and their experiences and of course, feminism and where that is at the moment. Do you feel, you know, how do you feel about being so the focus of so many younger woman today as far as in music?
I just think it's great, and I'm very proud, very, very, very proud. Mm. I really had thought that the Runaways had all been forgotten up until about 22 years ago. I really did, especially when Madonna took, when she said that she was the first person to wear a corset on stage. That bummed me out, because that wasn't true.
Yeah.
I did it long before she did.
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, so maybe the Runaways really didn't make the impact that I thought we had. But it was thanks to the fans not forgetting. And then, of course, John Linson, who came up with the idea of making the film, and Kenny Laguna as well for pushing for it. I think, you know, we're very, very lucky that now this other generation of girls really sees, hey, you know, I can do this. And that's the most important part.
Yeah, with recent developments, things like what's happened to Keisha, and you hear these other stories and stuff like that. For you to be so young, you guys were so young at that age, at time, surviving all that is quite a feat, quite incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm.
It was a totally different time. It was a very different time. The 70s was extraordinary and different. So very different than it is today.
And what a career. I mean, you've led on to things like one of my favorite films, and a few of us love it, and Foxes with Jodie Foster and Scott Baio. That's quite an amazing film. I know that's...
Thank you very much.
...been a while, but...
Well, I haven't seen it in a while myself, but that was Adrian Lyon's first film as well. That was his directorial debut. He had just done commercials before that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he went on to make great movies, Fatal Attraction. I'll say, working with Jodie Foster, and we became very good friends and stayed good friends for years. Ooh. After that movie. So she was so helpful, so helpful.
Oh, she's an amazing woman, and, you know, having come out and be so, you know, positive about it all, and a great influence on many women. And the interesting thing is, yeah, so she starred with Kristen Stewart, and then Kristen Stewart was Joan Jett, and then she met you, and so the cycle, the cycle goes on.
Yes, definitely. Quite a ride.
So for your music now, you're collaborating a lot. It's a new album, isn't it, to be coming out and doing this work. How are you feeling? Is it a bit deja vu, or what's your feeling about the whole
thing? Well, I think making Reverie, which has been out about a year or so now, maybe not quite a year, having Kim Fowley be producer on four of those songs was just incredible for me, and to have my son Jake working with him.
Yeah.
Because I had a very difficult time overcoming the anger issues that I had as a kid with him. And I really realized about six, seven years ago that all that did was hurt myself. So I reached out to him, and I wanted to talk to him. I wanted him to explain to me why those things had happened. Mm. And he did. And we became friends. And then I knew that he was dying of cancer. And he called and asked if I wanted to do a record with him, and I just jumped at the chance. For me, it was an opportunity to put behind me the bad memories and make new great memories. And then, of course, I moved him into my house for almost 10 days and took care of him 24/7. He was bedridden.
Wow.
And before he had to go in for his last surgery, and then he passed away. So for me, I was able to take something that was very hurtful to me for the majority of my adulthood and turn it into something positive. So I recommend that to anybody and everybody.
That's a powerful thing to say.
You can. Yep. Well, you know, and people change in 40 years. I have. I think everybody changes. You know, we grow up and life happens. So.
Yeah. How does it go? Life happens when you don't expect it or something like that. I'm not very good with quotes this morning.
Right, right.
Life's something that just happens.
I have two albums coming out before the end of the year. In fact, my live album, Live in London, will be available in Australia when I'm there. Mm. And then finally, the Blackheart record that I made with Matt Sorum back in 2010, that's coming out in around September.
Oh, this is great. So this is a lot. You've got three albums pretty much. This tour that's taking you around Australia and for the first time in Australia and so many other watershed moments and things. And, I mean, this is, you know, incredible. Congratulations. Fantastic work.
Thank you so much. And at 56 years old, I just am very blessed.
Wow.
Very, very blessed. And, of course, you know, I've still got chainsaw art that I love doing
So. You've got a gallery for that too, is that right? People can look at that online?
Actually, I did. I've had two galleries, but when the movie went into production, I had to close because I had people tapping me on the when I'm carving.
Oh, right.
And they would just show up behind me. And then I really realized it was a health risk that I could actually cut someone if I don't see that they're next to me with an album or something to sign. I was really...
mindful.
It wasn't going to work. So I built a place at home, and I just do special orders online now.
Cool. Yes, I just got an image, like something from the, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre when you said that. So, yeah, they're lucky people. They've still got both arms and the elbows.
Oh.
I hope.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a horror film fan. Forgive me.
Oh, well, so am I. That's okay. I really love the chainsaw. I love the fact that I was able to overcome that fear, and I think that was something that was very important for me because it was scary, and it's a very dangerous tool, and to overcome that and for it to become a full-time profession was, I think, what I needed as well to come back into music, and which I really find is being on stage is probably the easiest thing that I do in a day or in a night. It's just a thing that I was born to do. So it's great to be able to do it again.
And you enjoy it too. So, you know, you've got that as well. It's something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. It's a joy to do. Yeah.
Now with passing of David Bowie, of course, that's been very tough, I should imagine, for yourself and for many other artists.
It's very hard to believe, and actually, I found out I had the flu, believe it or not, with about 103.5 temperature when I got a text that David Bowie had died, and I think if I hadn't have been so absolutely, like, deathly ill, it would have really taken me to my knees, but I still, a part of me doesn't believe it, so I think that's just that mechanism within us that... just goes on believing they're still there. And I think that with David Bowie, it's almost hard not to do that because otherwise it's just devastating.
Yeah, true.
He had so much more to give.
Yeah.
And what a champion, the way he dealt with this grave illness.
I know.
By not letting anybody know.
Incredible.
And putting an album out right the day he passed away, he came out.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. I can see I'm counting down the seconds. I hate doing that. But anyway, if you could choose, just briefly, if you could choose a Bowie song, is there any song that now you feel stands the test of time for yourself?
Oh, so many.
I know.
I'm going to say Lady Grinning Soul.
Yep.
Oh, my God. There's just so many. I mean, and I've been going through this with putting more of a tribute together. There's just, in fact, I there's just a list.
Yeah.
So we don't even have time.
We don't have time for that.
I just loved all of them. All of them. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Sherry, for speaking to us. Sherry Curry is going to be on tour. She's coming to Melbourne on the 28th at the Corner Hotel. So thank you so much for speaking to us here on Broad. I wonder if you could say the word Broad on Joy 94.9, and then they'll cut us off probably.
Sure.
Okay.
You are listening to Sonia Joy FM Radio from, oh, I'm sorry.
Broad.
This is Cherie Curry from The Runaways, and you're listening to Sonia with Joy FM Radio.
You're cool. Thank you so much. All the best. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. I hope I see you at the show.
I hope so.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. She's a survivor. She's an icon. She's an artist. And we wish her all the best of luck for her tour that is coming to Australia and New Zealand for this month, May 2016. She kicks it off in Auckland, actually, May the 20th. And then she's heading here. She'll be in Brisbane, May the 26th. And then heading to Sydney on the 27th at the Manning Bar. And then, of course, Saturday, the 28th of May, at the fabulous Corner Hotel here in Melbourne. Then heading on to Adelaide on the 31st of May. And Perth, finally, 1st of June at the Rosemount. Oh, wow. All right, I want to thank Sherry Curry for speaking to us here on Broad on Joy 94.9.
And that was Broad on Joy 94.9. Get in touch with us. It's easy to do. Just go to broad@joy.org.au. You can tweet us at broadfem949.
Listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.